We love you, Jesus. At ATC, we've learned that love is not just what God does, it's who He is. It's who He is. And when you understand that God is love, and that He loves you with an unsurpassable love, and that you have incredible worth to God, it is absolutely transformational to your life. Do me a favor, turn to three or four people and let them know you're glad that they're here at ATC today. And if you would remain standing with me, just for a moment longer, thank you. First of all, we just want to say on behalf of my family, thank you so much for the incredible gift. We had a 10-year pastoral anniversary, and this church gifted our family with a trip to France. It was really rough. And we want to say from the bottom of our hearts how much we appreciated that incredible gift. Our family had a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and we're so very grateful for that. So thank you, ATC, for your kindness to our family. We will always treasure the memories. And we're also very thankful for the Lord's protection. As you probably saw on social media, there was an attack at the Louvre Museum, and our family was there at that time. We were right at the entrance of the Louvre, and our guide was just late. And had our guide been on time, we would have been right at the location down the steps in the entrance of the Louvre when that would have happened. And we know the Lord's protection was upon us. We didn't exactly know what was going on. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for His protection. And we're so thankful for your prayers. And in case you're wondering, we didn't know at the time what was going on. We just know that there was security all over the place telling us to get back. They just kept pushing us away and into an adjacent park. And then we learned later that what had happened. So we were never in any imminent danger because the Lord strategically placed us at the right place, the right time. So again, thank you very much, ATC. And I know our children have social media. You can take a look at pictures, my wife's Facebook page. You can see everything. And you know what? We were on a fast last week. Do you remember 2 weeks ago? You remember that? And I put all that weight back on, I think. Because they have amazing bread, France, and pastries and all kinds of things. To our guests, we're so glad that you're here. And you've already noticed that we fuse our passion and our praise together. And we're just delighted that you're worshiping with us. If you would do us a favor, my wife and I would love to personally thank you for being in service with us. So behind you, you'll see that there is a foyer area. You'll see a sign that says administrative offices. We have an usher who will take you back to our hospitality suite where my wife and I would just love to thank you for being with us personally. And we have a gift for you. We have some cookies, and we just want to say hello. We don't want to take a lot of your time. Also, for all of those who indicated on their recent surveys that they would like to begin serving ATC on Sunday mornings when we go to our 2 a.m. services. First of all, thank you for that. And we have some needs in various departments. You're going to receive an email that will itemize opportunities for you. Please watch for this email and respond in a timely manner if you could do that. If you are expecting to receive an email because you affirmed, yes, I'd like to be a part, If I believe you're supposed to receive that email within a couple of days. If you don't see something in 2 days, call the office. We'll get you. We need to get your email address right. Probably have the wrong email address. But we're just so thankful for all of the church that is saying yes, who's not currently involved in ministries. 108 people said, we'll help on Sunday mornings. And I'm so thrilled for that. So thank you, ATC, for that. Finally, we're so very thankful to have Reverend and Mrs. Campitello with us all the way from Belleville, Florida. They are international evangelists. They travel the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're so thankful that they're going to be with us today and also in our 6 p.m. service, Monday night prayer. Tomorrow night, 1 hour. It's just a 1 hour time slot. It's not a church service. It's just a time for us to come together. Brother Compitel is going to minister to us again, and it's going to be a blessing to you. There's a strong anointing of God upon Brother Campitella's life and his ministry. And I'm so very thankful to introduce him to you. We're grateful for his wife and their three beautiful children that drove all the way to Appleton, Wisconsin to be in this service. Would you help me welcome Brother Campitella as he comes?
Would you clap your hands unto the Lord with all of your might? Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you shout hallelujah again? It feels good in here. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a delight to be here in the Arctic. And I was surprised that the Lord was here. I thought he stopped traveling north after about halfway up. It started getting cold. And but it's such an honor to be here and to meet all of you, to be with the Soto family, your wonderful leaders, this awesome church. I've heard so much about them through various friends. And I was telling him in the office that I was able to meet him. I don't know how long ago. I was still working at our church and dreaming of evangelizing one day, and he was the evangelist at that church, and I was the person that stood waiting in line to shake his hand, and I was trembling for that moment where we could touch hands. And now I'm actually with him in his church, and it's just a wonderful honor to be here. Praise God. I'm so delighted to have my wife and our babies with us, and whoever had the insight, the spiritual discernment to get us a room where we could actually lock them in another room. God bless you. God bless you. That was the Lord that spoke to you, and I appreciate that. And then the basket was ridiculous. I'm not allowed to touch it when my wife travels with me. I'm not allowed to touch the basket. It's just a cross that I carry. She opens it and dissects it and tells me what I'm allowed to have or not have. But whoever put that basket together, it was great. But then the Lord spoke to you, and you put chocolate, dark chocolate-covered cashews. People, whoever you are, you have a free pass to heaven. You're going. You're going to heaven. Okay, I've never had them. They were awesome. My life has changed. Praise God. It's good to be here. I feel like God has given me very specific direction for this service. And I'm excited to be a part of what God is going to do in this church. I don't take it lightly that your pastor trusts us enough to have us for multiple services. I don't think he's ever heard me preach. I've never been around him, but it's a tremendous statement of trust. And I appreciate that very, very much. Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 41. Bible says, and when he was come near, you could turn me up in this monitor, just kind of blare me out. He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day. Somebody say it was their day. The things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They didn't know it was their day. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1, a very familiar passage of Scripture for those who have experienced this wonderful power. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. Slap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, that would include you. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance or the ability or the power to speak. Has anybody ever experienced this wonderful miracle in your life? There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. These people are drunk out of their brains. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour or 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. They shall prophesy. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on this topic. When the timing is right and the people are ready. When the timing is right and the people are ready. Would you put your Bibles down and let's lift our hands to the Lord. And let's ask Him to do exactly what He wants to do in this place. Would you lift your voice with me, Father? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the anointing that is upon this church. Thank you for the mighty anointing that is upon my life to preach your word. I bind every spirit that is contrary to the work of the Lord in this church, in this city, in this region. I loose the mighty angels of God now into this service, into this revival, to minister according to your will. Let the word of God have the impact upon us that you want it to have. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. One more time before you're seated, would you clap your hands and let's praise the Lord with our voices. Would you let your voice out? Let's praise Him together. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. You're wonderful and powerful. Praise the living God. Give two or three people a high five and say, let's have some church on Sunday morning. You can be seated. I'm going to do my best, sir, in Jesus' name. Jesus was the Messiah. He was the very one that Israel had been waiting for to save them, to deliver them, to sit upon the throne that was promised. And as you know the story, because they could not reconcile their idea of who the Messiah should be, what he should look like, with the man that was standing in front of them, they did not receive him as their Messiah. Towards the end of his ministry, Jesus was walking towards Jerusalem, and the burden that he felt, the agony that he felt because they had missed it, came upon him. And he began to shout and say, oh Jerusalem, if you would have only known what God had in store for you in your day. It was their day for deliverance and for redemption, but they missed it. There have been several tragedies in the Bible where God was ready to act. God was ready to perform. God was ready to work a miracle. And the people were not ready to move. Because it takes two. It doesn't matter how ready God is. If somebody out there doesn't say, I'm ready as well, nothing's going to happen. Somebody has got to be willing to move when God says to move. And In the Old Testament, you see the classic story where the children of Israel came out of Egypt and God brought them to their promised land. He brought them to the Jordan. They sent the 12 spies and two of them came back with a good report, but they were kind of shouted down by the 10 that came back and said, there's giants over there. They're going to kill us. We can't do it. We don't have the power. We don't have the ability. God's brought us out here to die. And all of Israel turned against Moses, turned against Joshua and Caleb. And because they were not ready when God said, go. Somebody shout, go. Because they were not ready to move, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and die. They missed it. Other times you see where people were ready when God said to move. They were ready to move. When God said, I'm ready to act, they responded. You see this especially in the New Testament. When Jesus was walking through certain areas, there were people that needed miracles. And even though Jesus acted like he wasn't ready to move, those people understood, this is my moment right now. You see the Syrophoenician woman, she saw Jesus and she said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And the Bible says he answered her not a word. Didn't say a single word to her. Now that would have been a clear indication that this person is not here for you. Imagine if you walked up to Pastor Soto and you said, hey, good to see you. I'm so glad to be here this morning. He just looked right through you and turned his head. You would be highly offended and you would write a Google review on this church and say, they have a mean pastor. Don't ever go back. And Jesus answered her not a word, but something got a hold of this lady. She understood that this man with my answer is passing by. I'm not going to let him go. And the Bible says she cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And Jesus began to work with her and begin to talk to her. And finally, at the end of it, he gave her her miracle. She recognized that it was her moment in time to receive the miracle that she so desperately needed. And if we can recognize today that God is ready to work, God is ready to give you what you need, God is ready to pour out upon you what you've been waiting for, and if something can get a hold of your body and your spirit and your mind that says, I'm not leaving here without my miracle, you and God are going to meet at some point in this service, and you're going to get what you need from God. Well, clap your hands and shout to the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah! Woo! Shela Bahataya. I'll never forget my wife and I on our honeymoon. The first day on our honeymoon, we were not thinking about spiritual things. We were thinking about smooching. It was the day after we got married and we were in the airport. We were traveling to Rome. All expense paid vacation. We had been doing some serious soul winning. And because of that soul winning, God worked out so many things. We had an all expense paid honeymoon to Rome. Soul winning pays off. Let me tell you right now. So it was the day after our wedding. We had gone to Orlando, got a hotel, got on the plane the next day. And as we're on the plane, we were doing what every person does when you're walking on the plane. You're looking for that person that you're going to be sitting next to for how many hours? Y'all do it too. Don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. And so we get on that plane and we're walking and I'm in like 23D. And so I'm looking down there and I see 23D and there's this guy with blonde, poofy hair, big blue eyes. And he's sitting there and he's doing the same thing I'm doing. He's watching each person saying, okay, who's going to be sitting next to me for the next few hours? So we sat next to him, and I just kind of said, hey, how you doing? And he nodded his head, and my wife and I got to smooching. When you're in love, man, it don't matter if it's public or behind closed doors, whatever. We were smooching, and he was laughing at us because we were holding each other's hands and just loving it. And he says, y'all, he had this very thick accent. He said, man, y'all are very serious about each other. I was like, well, we just got married yesterday. And so he gave me congratulations and God began to turn my attention on him. And so I said, man, what do you do? And he said, I am a Norwegian. He was 18 years old. He was studying to be a Lutheran pastor in Norway. And the Holy Ghost prompted me, and he said, it's not a coincidence that you're sitting next to this kid. And I began to ask him, I said, during the conversation, he asked me what I was doing. I was the youth pastor at that time at our church, and began to talk about Pentecost. And I said, sir, have you ever been baptized? And he said, oh, yes, I have been baptized. Yes, of course, I'm studying to be a Lutheran pastor. And I said, wow, what did they say when they baptized you? He said, well, they said in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, but do you know that nobody in the Bible was ever baptized in titles, Father, Son, or Holy Ghost? Not one single person. And he looked at me, and I didn't know if he was going to hit me. And so I kept talking very quickly. I explained in Matthew 28:19, I said, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But if you look at every single time somebody was baptized, they never mentioned the titles Father, Son, or Holy Ghost. They used the name of the one who bears the titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I said, Emil, I am a man and I have many titles. I am a husband. I am an evangelist. And one day I will be a father. But as a man, I have to withdraw from one title to operate in another. For instance, now I am operating in the title of evangelist and I am preaching to the church. But when I go home to my wife, I withdraw from the title evangelist and take on the title husband because I am not allowed to preach to my wife. As a man, I can only operate in one title at a time. Sometimes as a father, my kids need a little bit of pow-pow. So I step into the title father so I can give my boys a little bit of pow-pow. Well, I'm not allowed to pow-pow my wife. I have to withdraw from one title to operate in another. As the title husband, I smooch my wife. But I'm not allowed to smooch the saints. Is anybody thankful for that revelation right there? Hallelujah. I have to withdraw from the title husband to operate in the title evangelist. But when we're talking about the one God of Israel, he can't withdraw from anything to operate somewhere else because he's already over there and he's already over there and he already fulfilled. He doesn't withdraw from son to be father. He doesn't withdraw from father to be son. He's all of these things. And the Bible tells us he's got a lot more titles than that. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning, he's the end, he's the first, he's the last, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's the Lily of the Valley, he's the Bright and Morning Star, he's the Rose of Sharon, but he's only got one name, the name Jesus. Somebody shout his name. Somebody shout that name. That's why the apostles understood when Jesus said, baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus was saying, use the name of the one single person that bears these titles. So when they baptized, they said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, because Jesus is the one who bears those titles. And I looked at this man, and I said, what do you think about that? And he said, I want to get baptized in Jesus' name. So I said, well, hey, look, we're going to go to we had a New Jersey airport stopover before we flew the long flight to Rome. I said, man, we're going to find a fountain. We're going to find a pool. We're going to find something in the New Jersey airport. When we got off that plane, when we get off this plane, we are going to find a place to baptize you in Jesus' name. And he said, okay, I'm ready. My wife and I had just been involved with an awesome campus revival. We were baptizing professors and athletes and students all over the place. And God, we could baptize people in a cup of water. We could fit them down. We were very skilled at baptizing people completely. That may be a slight exaggeration. I'm not sure. So I was testing the water with this guy, and I said, have you ever received the Holy Ghost? He said, oh, yes, I have the Spirit. I have received the Spirit. I said, did you speak in tongues when you received the Holy Ghost? Oh, no, I'm Lutheran. We do not speak in tongues. I said, well, listen, now let me explain something to you, because the Bible tells us, Bible shows us that every time someone was filled, the moment it recorded them being filled with the Spirit. Now, there's all kinds of signs. They were happy. There was fire. They were magnifying God one time. They were prophesying another time. But every single time, the common ground, the common evidence was that they spoke in tongues. God used their mouth and their tongue to speak words that they had never spoken in their life, and it was not their native language. That's what happens when they're born again. Look at Acts chapter 2. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the power to do so. And I explained, I said, you know, if you're born in China, you will grow up speaking the language of the country you have been born into. If you're born in Germany, you'll grow up speaking German because that is the language of the country you have been born into. If you're born in France, you'll grow up speaking French because that is the language of the country you have been born into. But when you get born again, you become the citizen of a new Jerusalem. Your citizenship transfers from this country, from this earth, to a new Jerusalem, a heavenly destination. And the moment you are born again, you will instantly begin to speak the language of the new country you have just been born into. This is why you will speak with tongues when the Holy Ghost comes inside of you. And this guy, I looked at him and I said, would you like that? Would you like to have the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? He said, yes, I want to receive the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And I've never seen anything like this. We're on a plane and we're 30,000 feet in the air, and the Holy Ghost is hitting this guy and he wants everything I'm talking about because it was his time. We got off that plane, went to New Jersey Airport. We walked back and forth in that airport, could not find a single baptismal, could not find a single fountain. It's the only airport on the planet without a fountain, without a retention pond close by. They had no drops of water anywhere. Couldn't find it. And so we're walking around. He had already gone to a kiosk. He had brought himself Silkies and another shirt, just some kind of sports shirt. We're walking through, and I said, man, I don't know what we're going to do. When we sat down in a terminal, we looked out the window. There was the Marriott across the river. And I said, now listen, this is a little weird, but would you get into a bus with us? We'll go to the Marriott, and we'll baptize you at the Marriott. Does that sound weird to anybody else here? This guy is in a foreign country. He is a teenager. And he's following around people that he's never met in his life and going to go do something that he has never done in his entire life. Why? Because the Holy Ghost moved upon him and he understood, this is my time right now. I cannot miss it. And I was afraid for him, but every time I looked at him, he was determined. I'll go wherever you want. Let's do it. We had 3 hours, so we hopped in the bus, went to the Marriott. And you know, you can walk in and the person behind the desk, if you just wave at him, they'll think you're guest there. So we just waved at him and went to the pool. Went straight to the pool, and it had a key on it. You had to have an electronic key, so I was busted right there. And so the lady was watching me. We turned back and said, can we borrow that pool? He wants to get baptized in Jesus' name. And she said, oh, no, sir, you have to be a guest of this hotel. I'm sick. Well, can we be a guest for 5 minutes? We just need 5 minutes. If you can just unlock that door. No, sir, you have to be a guest for the full duration. You have to pay full price for our services. I said, how much is full price? She said, $180 per night. In the name of Jesus Christ, get thee behind me, Satan. I didn't say that, actually. We pulled out the debit card and took $180 and paid for that. And this young man is watching us the whole time. We took him upstairs into a hotel room in the Marriott by the New Jersey airport, and we filled up a bathtub as much as we could get it. He was real tall, and I said, buddy, we're going to baptize you in Jesus' name, just like the Bible says, and when you come out of this water, you're going to start speaking in tongues, because God's going to come inside of your body. We baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ, and when he got up out of that water, we put our hands on his head, and the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. How can that happen? Because somebody understood, I cannot let this opportunity pass me by. Jesus has come to me today, and I'm not going to let it pass me by. And let me tell you something, the Lord has come to you today, and somebody here, God is talking to your heart and talking to your mind. You need to make up in your mind, today is my day. I'm not leaving here today without receiving this miracle. I'm not walking out of this building without getting baptized. Baptized in Jesus' name. Today's my day. God, if you're ready, I'm ready. If you're ready, I'm ready, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody lift your hands and let your voice out for a moment. We praise you, God. Thank you for this miracle, Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. Shelabahatayolabokotayalamahaya. Thank you, Jesus. You got to move when God says move. If God has made something available to you, don't wait. My whole goal today, let me just make it all plain to you. My whole goal today, my whole intent, my motive, my objective is to get you up at this front. I ain't trying to hide it from you. I ain't trying to beat around the bush. If I can get you to go from where you are and take a step of faith and come up here, God will change your life. There's something about coming to Jesus. Jesus said twice, he said, come unto me, all ye that are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Another place he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. There's something about getting up from where you are and walking to where Jesus is. And I've heard people say, well, why can't I just receive the Holy Ghost sitting here? Why can't I be blessed sitting here? You may be, or you may not be. But it's guaranteed if you come up from where you are and come up here and do what the Lord tells you to do, God is going to change your life forever. He will change your life forever. Are there any witnesses in the house that God did it for you? God did it for you. God did it for you. I love what the brother Seth, I think it was, up here singing. He said, did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? God did it. God is the one who breaks those chains. God is the one who makes all things new. If you come up from where you are, you're going to have some guts. Because there's going to be a bunch of people behind you looking at you when you come up. But something has got to come into your spirit, into your mind, that says, I do not care what I look like. I do not care what I sound like. I don't care if I appear desperate or hungry. If that's where I need to be, then that's where I'm going, because God is going to do what I need him to do. Let's pray for her right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sheka Rema Kayala, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing. I speak deliverance. I speak stability, a rock foundation. God, according to her faith, in the name of Jesus, so be it unto you now. Yebla Harama Kaya, go back praising the Lord in the name of Jesus. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Woo. Everybody say timing. If God is ready, we got to move. We have the blessing and the privilege to preach in a Methodist church in South Florida. And I learned very quickly, Methodist churches don't act like Pentecostal churches. It was just different. It was very quiet. There was no movement. You sat on your pew and you just listened. But this pastor had received the revelation of Jesus' name. He'd received the revelation of the Holy Ghost. And he asked my pastor, Bishop Varnum, to go preach. And Bishop asked me to come to pray people through and help him in the altars. And so I went. And while he was preaching, he said something like, God wants to heal you. And I said, hallelujah. And it hit me. Every eye in the place was on me. And the ushers, they were tapping their hidden concealed weapons, you know, threatening me. And I told myself, Joey, you are in a Methodist church. You need to calm down and keep it together, boy, because that's not how they act here. And I forgot all about that. 5 minutes later, my pastor said, God wants to wash your sins away. And I said, amen! Because I'm Pentecostal. It's just a fire inside of me. It just comes out of me. I can't help it. I'm going to let him out. But at that point, somebody else liked it. And I heard behind me, somebody said, amen. And the person, I turned around, the person next to her, she looked at her and she's like, yeah, that's pretty cool. You just said amen in church. And at the end of that service, two Methodist folks came up and got the Holy Ghost with the evidence of talking in tongues. The next night we came back and it was a little bit looser. There was a little bit more flow. There was a little bit more fluidity to the worship. And several people, they would actually stand up and they said, hallelujah. And then they turned around and shook each other's hand, congratulating each other. This is awesome. And people were giving each other high fives on that Thursday night. The first night was Wednesday. The second night was Thursday. After that Thursday night service, we had 8 Methodist folks come down to the front and receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of talking in tongues. 8 of them. Then Friday night, it was on, honey. Everybody was praising God and dancing, and people came up, and God healed a bunch of people. And at the end of that Friday night service, we had 12 Methodist folks receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of talking in tongues. And I kind of saw the pattern, because Wednesday night, they were Methodist. Thursday night, they became non-denominational, and by Friday night, they were Pentecostal people. They were clapping and shouting and dancing and being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. The next series of services, it was my job to preach, and I was preaching on baptism in Jesus' name, and I took 3 nights to explain the obedience of faith. Faith is more than a mental recognition of what is. Faith is obeying with action what you know to be true in your mind from the Word of God. Faith is action. It's obedience. And I explained this for 3 nights. And finally on that Friday night, I got down right to it, because there's a bunch of people receiving the Holy Ghost, but there's not so many as receiving the Holy Ghost that are being baptized in Jesus' name. You start hitting some traditions there, boy. Woo! And at the end of that service, I said, okay, who wants to get baptized in Jesus' name? And 5 hands went up. And everybody looked at them. Some of them were mad at each other because they were getting baptized. They were breaking tradition, stepping out of title baptism into name baptism. And so this was on Friday. They didn't have a baptismal. Saturday, I went to the Tractor Supply in Florida, and I got a humongous cow trough, and I brought it to that you could fit 3 or 4 cows in there at one time. It was the largest they had. And so I brought it there. We filled it up. It was in January. And believe it or not, it does get chilly in January in Florida. I think it was a very cold weekend, maybe 30 degrees. There was frost everywhere. And I filled that up, and it had all night long to get just the right temperature. You understand what I'm saying? The next day was a beautiful sunny day, and I went up to that church that Sunday morning, and I thought, we got 5 Methodist folks being baptized in Jesus' name. But when I pulled into that parking lot, people, I lie not, there were towels draped over shoulders. One guy had on Bermuda shorts and a Bahama shirt, and he was asking everybody, you getting rebaptized in Jesus' name? He said, yes, I am. You getting rebaptized? I'm getting rebaptized in Jesus' name. We had 22 Methodist folks be baptized that morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Hallelujah. If that don't make you excited, I don't know what will. When you go down in the water in Jesus' name, everything changes in your life. There was one man there, and he was old. He was very, very old. His name was Harold. Fred had his ear open. He had been in the army. A grenade went off too close to his ear. It blew his eardrum. And in one of those services, God opened his ear. That was Fred. Harold was 83 years old. And he gave me a list, a literal piece of paper, a list of diseases that should have killed him. Had leukemia then. I had lupus over here. Had heart failure there. Had cancer there. He said, I should have died 14, 15 times. He said, but God, he said, I believe God has kept me alive so I could be baptized in Jesus' name. And he had to talk through this microphone, this robotic microphone, because there was a big hole in his throat. Cancer had eaten out his voice box. And he said, but Brother Campitella, he said, how am I going to get baptized in water? He said, I breathe through this hole in my throat. I don't breathe through my nose and my mouth. I breathe through this hole. He said, if I go under the water, I might be in trouble with water going down my throat. I said, well, honestly, I've never baptized anybody with a hole in their throat before, so I'm going to do some research and call some people I know, because it's mandatory to get baptized. It's not optional. The Bible does not make baptism optional. Acts chapter 10, Peter commanded them to be baptized. You look at Mark chapter 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus commanded them to teach baptism. It's not optional. It is an obedience to the word of God, signifying you being buried just like Jesus was buried in the ground. We are buried symbolically in that water, and the old you stays in the water. It's mandatory. And I said, listen, we're going to do this. I don't know how, but I'm going to do some research. I didn't know whether we were going to put him chest deep in the water and take a 5-gallon bucket and just put it on top of his head. I didn't know what we're going to do. So I did some research on it and read. You would not believe all the stuff you can read on it. And I also called some people that do medical stuff. And I called Brother Stone King. And I said, Brother Stone King, I said, there's a guy here. He's got a hole in his throat, and he wants to be baptized. And he said, Joey, boy, it's very, very simple, actually. He said, you take a plastic bag, and you put a washcloth in it. Put the bag over the throat, dunk him down under very quickly, bring him back up. He'll never know what happened to him, boy. Just say, in Jesus' name, everything will be fine. I said, okay. Sunday morning, everybody's gathered around to be baptized. I said, who wants to be baptized first? Harold, 83 years old, pushing his way through. He said, I figured it out. He held up a plastic bag with a washcloth in it. He said, you just put this over my throat and everything's going to be just fine. Harold pushed his way through the crowd. He had been waiting all his life to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He understood, this is my day and nothing's going to get in between me and my miracle. God has come here for me and nothing's going to stop me from receiving what the Lord has promised me. We baptized Harold. I dunked him under, put that bag, and the Holy Ghost came on him so strong he dropped it in the water while he was still under the water. He came back up. It was like a faucet, man. Water just shot down that hole in his throat, and he lifted his hands, and he was coughing that water out, but it was as if nothing had happened to him. There was a glow on his face. He's 83 waving his hands, and he's telling everybody. He said, I just got baptized in Jesus' name. That's how important it was to him. I just got baptized in Jesus' name. We got him out of that cow trough and we didn't put any towels down. It was slick tile floor. And Harold, he was just filled with so much energy. He got out of that cow trough, and as soon as he started walking, his feet slipped out from under him and he crashed into that hard tile floor and busted his elbow. Blood was going down his elbow, and I just thought, I just killed Harold. No disease could take him out, and I just killed him. And Harold jumped in, because everybody became very concerned. Harold jumped to his feet and he said, "Don't worry about me." He said, "I just slipped, but guess what? I just got baptized in Jesus' name." The only thing he could think of was that he just went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins, and he would never be the same again. Somebody here today needs to make up in your mind, it's my day. Today is my time. I'm not going to let him pass me by. Well, lift your hands and lift your voices right now. Let something come out of your mouth to the Lord. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord God. Stand to your feet. Let's worship the Lord together. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands. Lift your voices. Somebody thank the Lord for everything he's done in your life. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've received the Holy Ghost, thank him for it. Thank him. Woo! Kela bahasa kita namohoshakata la bahata. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's do that with her for a second. Somebody else feel like lifting your voice? Just lift your voice. Let's praise him together. Come on, don't worry about who's around you, who's beside you, who's in front of you, who's in back of you. If you want what I'm talking about, just praise him. Let some praise come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Kila bahataya lo mohoya. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. There may be one of you, there may be five, there may be 20. I don't have a clue. I just know the Lord put this in my spirit. Hold on one second, brother. Thank you. I want you to turn to four people, front, back, side to side, and ask them, have you ever received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Even if you already know the answer, just turn and ask them. Four people, front, back, side, side.
When I have actually, yes. Y'all too have, right?
Yes.
I'm going to give you a cue. It's going to be hopping and popping, okay? But just wait until I give you the cue. Something full of faith and exciting.
That's it. Ask everybody. That's wonderful. Thank you for turning me up. If you have not been asked, you should be highly offended. You should grab somebody and say, ask me the question. If they got a mean look on their face, just smile right through it and ask them the question. If they said yes, I've already got it. I want you to look at them and point at their face and say, you're about to get it again. If they said, no, I've never received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want you to tell them, today is your day. Turn around, look at them, say, today is your day. Now, here's what we're going to do. People are already praying. I really feel if Pastor Soto can come, I want everybody to repent in this house. From the front to the back, from side to side, I want us all to cleanse our hearts for the Lord. Let him touch our minds. Let him touch our spirits. You do not have to confess your sins outwardly. I don't need you to say your sins loud enough for your neighbor to hear, but you do need to use your mouth and confess, I am a sinner. I need you, Lord. And I want you to lift your hands right now. Lift up your heads and let's ask God to forgive us of all of our sins. Make it meaningful.
Lord Jesus, we stand in your holy presence. Your word tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. Father, we declare that today, that we have fallen short of your glory. We confess, Lord, that there's sin in our life, present in our life, and we need a Savior. Lord, would you forgive me for every evil word I have spoken, every hurtful word, Lord. Lord, every decision that I've made that has brought shame to my life, forgive me, Jesus. I'm sorry for the sin, Lord, that has hurt other people. I'm sorry, Lord, for every gaze upon a lustful gaze. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for everything that I have done that has brought harm, Lord, to children, harm to elders, God. I pray in your precious name that you would cleanse me, Lord, from that sin today. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, the things I know I should have done, but I didn't do, God. I'm asking you to forgive me for those things. Everything, Lord, every time I should have said I was sorry, and I didn't say I was sorry. Every time, Lord, I should have shown love to my family, Lord, but I refused. In Jesus' name, the bitterness in my heart, the unforgiveness, Lord, the rage, the anger, Lord, would you forgive me and would you cleanse me from all the sin in my life? All the sin in my life, Lord. I'm trusting it to you, Lord. I'm entrusting it to your hand today. In Jesus' name, I'm trusting you, Lord, at your word. You said in your word that if I would confess my sins, that you are faithful to forgive me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Let's thank the Lord that he heard our prayer. Let's thank him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. 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 Now, there's people here, they said, no, I've never received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I want you to turn to them right now and say, would you come up front with me right now so God can fill you with the Holy Ghost? And somebody break the ice. Who's bold enough to just break that ice? There's people moving right now. Look at that. The ice is now broken officially. People are moving right now. Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Children are coming up. That's wonderful. Come on up. That is awesome. Look at this. Look at this. This is wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord for all these brave people. All these courageous people making a move. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 People are still moving. Let's keep praising God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being here today. Thank you for what's about to happen in this place. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you could focus on me just for a moment, I'm going to let you pray in just a moment. If you're praying for somebody, if you could just focus on me, I would love to make eye contact with you right now. I want you to connect to my spirit and to what God is saying. The Holy Ghost is about to fill this place from front to back. The first thing I want to tell you is that your body language is very important to Jesus. Very important. This is why when we pray, we lift our hands to the Lord. Okay? You are using your body to send a message to him. And when you lift your hands, you say, I surrender. You're saying, I'm ready. My two boys have already learned, if they want daddy to pick them up, they don't have to say anything. They just run up to me and they go. And daddy cannot help but pick them up. And if you will lift your hands to your heavenly father, he's about to pick you up and never put you down. I want us to try it. Would every hand be raised in this place right now? As high as you can get them. Just as high as you can get them. That is excellent. That is excellent. You can put your hands down. Now, I know I'm teaching you here, but we're practicing. We're practicing before the real thing. Musicians practice before they do the real thing. And we're practicing now because we're about to turn the light on here in just a moment, okay? The second thing I want to tell you is when you begin to pray to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, there's going to be a battle that takes place. Satan does not want you to have this gift. He hates it. Because it makes you a threat to him for the rest of your life. And he will remind you of your past. He'll remind you of every mistake you've made. He'll remind you of how many people are standing around you listening to you. He's going to do everything he can to distract you, to confuse you, to make you feel unworthy, okay? And this is what happens when people feel unworthy. Their heads go down. I have prayed for some people. I've tried to push their head up. They will not lift their head up because they are fighting a spirit of condemnation, okay? The Bible says, lift up your eyes to the hills where your help comes from. The way to defeat that attack is lift up your head. Can we practice? Lift your hands and lift your head up to the Lord. You can keep your eyes closed. Just focus on Jesus. That's it. Lift up that head. Don't let that head fall down. That's excellent. You can put everything down. That is excellent. The third thing I want to tell you is that in just a moment, we are going to praise God with the loudest voice we have ever used in our lives. I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to end this prayer by shouting the highest praise you can possibly shout. Somebody tell me what that is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise you can shout to God. And it, in a nutshell, it means everything I am, I give to you. In a nutshell. And you may say, well, listen, Brother Campitella, shouting is not my personality. I'm a very quiet person. I'm very reserved. I'm asking you, in the name of Jesus, turn off your personality for 5 minutes and shout. Okay? Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, it's okay. Tell him, I'm going to be doing it with you. Why do we do this? I'll tell you why. Because shouting releases your emotion. It is impossible to stay in control of your emotion when you shout. You're releasing your emotion. And releasing your emotion, releasing your heart is a key to receiving the miracle that's about to come inside of you. When I finish this prayer and shout hallelujah, that is your cue to start shouting hallelujah. I want us to practice. On the count of three, I want every hand lifted, every head raised, and I want you to fill your lungs with air and shout to the top of your lungs, hallelujah. On the count of three, can we practice this? One, two, three. Hallelujah! Y'all feel the whole atmosphere change when you do that? Everything changes. If you are an altar worker, if you are a prayer warrior, a minister, a Sunday school teacher, musician, whatever, I want you to stand in front of these people, please. Get in front of them now. Make your way. These people are going to help you pray. They're going to touch you. They're going to lay hands on your head, and they're going to help you pray. And I would like for there to be at least one person for every person praying. That would be ideal. Just make your way through. Here's what's going to happen. When you start shouting hallelujah with your hands up and your eyes closed and your head lifted, Jesus is going to walk up to you. And he is going to try to take over your tongue. There's going to be a stutter. There's going to be too many syllables in that hallelujah, okay? You're going to start blurting out baby talk. It's going to be illogical, unreasonable. Do not stop it. Don't try to stop it. I've seen this happen. People that are about to receive it, they hear their tongue doing weird things that their brain's not telling them to do, and they instantly start really pronouncing every word to stay in control. Hallelujah. Thank you. They're trying to stay in control. The whole reason why you came up here is to give up control. And God is going to take over your language. I want you to blurt it out, no matter what it sounds like. When you start shouting hallelujah, in that moment, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Speak what you feel. Speak it. That is the evidence that he has stepped inside of your body. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder. Say, don't worry about it. Tell him, I'm going to be doing it with you. I want every saint of God, if you want to be involved, I want you to get out of your pew. I want you to gather in. This is a family affair, what's about to happen. I want every saint in this place, when I shout hallelujah, I want you shouting hallelujah, and I want you speaking in tongues, and we're going to praise God and speak in tongues until every single person is filled with the Holy Ghost. Altar workers, when you see that person speaking in tongues, get my attention. Wave a thumb at me so we can count. Get Pastor Soto's attention so we can see how many people are receiving the Holy Ghost. If you need to be renewed in the Holy Ghost, if you need a miracle in your body, I want to challenge you. Do the exact same thing because it'll come upon you. It'll come upon you. Are you ready? Lift up your heads and lift up your hands. Close your eyes. Get your mind on Jesus. That's it. Get your mind on Jesus. Altar workers, get ready to lay your hands upon them. By the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name Jesus, every single one of you receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! That's it. That's it. Let it out of your mouth right now. There's one right there. There's one right there. There's one right there. There's two right there. Hey! Hey! There's three right there. There's three right there. Shekaya Rabba Yetola Bohoya. That's it. Speak it out. Speak it out of your mouth. Shika la 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 la. Let it out of your mouth right now. Yanda la 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 la. Let it out of your mouth. Let it out of your mouth. That's the Holy Ghost right there.